What is going on, everybody? My name is Cutter Lawler. Welcome back to the second ever episode of the Heroes for Hire podcast. I am joined, as always, by my best pal, Mr. Sean Meehan. Sean, how's it going?
I'm good. Second time's the charm, Connor, as they say.
Our first week was rough. There's many people said it was the worst episode ever, in that it was 100%... the worst and the best
that's
episode
true. We've
ever.
We've only ever done one episode of this show so far, so forgive us some slack, folks.
You missed last week, this is our brand new show. It's called the Heroes for Hire podcast. We really thought so long and hard about that show. Yeah. And what it is, it's an amalgamation of two of your favourite shows. So we had Movie Mondays, we had Weird News Wednesdays. Now we got one full episode on a Monday that you can tune in, and the first half is movie news, and then there's a timestamp down below, and then you can go straight to all the week's weird news as well. So it's all in one nice neat little package, as Homer Simpson would say.
That's true. I mean, who would do two separate shows for close to 5 years and then change
three separate shows,
excuse me, but that other one still exists.
People said we were mad, we said no, and now we're old.
Now we're old and tired, so tired.
We said, actually, you know what, that's a good idea.
Oh, I'd like to see my family.
This is our bit of all the week's movie news, entertainment news, and all the week's weird news, all the strangest news stories from around the world, all combined in one neat little package. So, Sean, if this is somebody's first episode, though, I mean, it is only the second one, technically, it's weird because there's like 500 other shows.
Sure, don't go look at those, they're fine, don't bother.
Weird news episodes, there's some weird news ones that are good, though.
You should there's go at check least them nine out. Of them.
At least nine stories. But yeah, if this is your first episode, you don't have to do anything. If this is your second and above, which technically, if you've listened to last week's one and this week's one, it is.
Yeah,
we would really appreciate 5 stars, a follow, a like, a share on all your podcast platforms. The 5 stars especially helps us out. The Spotify numbers are going up. Always cool to see. And iTunes, I love seeing those numbers go up as well. So yeah, just 5 stars. Really help us out, and we have a Patreon, links down below. All that shit to be said, Sean, it's time for movie news.
Time for all that shit to be said. Nice, 2 minutes 30 on the intro, that's not too bad.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I didn't listen last week due to the fact that I'm on the show, right?
Yes,
I put together the show, I'm on the show.
I'm with you.
And after I finish, I don't want to listen to myself talk about the news that I assembled. But, Sean, did you put in a jingle for the Movie Mondays part of the show?
I didn't, no, because I figure we have the jingle at the start, a brief intro. We're not going into a second jingle straight away.
Some would say this is an admin meeting.
We really should have talked about this last week. But no, there's a jingle prior to weird news starting. Because
we actually got you to put in a jingle, which might be our biggest achievement ever.
We put in a jingle, and it sounds like it's a little news theme, but it's silly.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty good.
We have two big achievements. Getting you to actually do work and put in a jingle.
Yeah.
And number two, the reaction comments to every single piece of material that we put out every episode includes somebody commenting about the Marvel character Chair.
Yeah.
I hate the second one more.
I've knocked it out of the park twice, is what you're telling me.
Because you brought Chair into our lives, and now you've...
I radicalised the listeners into doing my bidding.
If you haven't listened to the Hero Zero episode for Chair, I would recommend going back to listen
funny.
To it.
It is funny.
It's not good. It's not a good character, but it'll be entertaining, is what I would say.
You'll have a chuckle.
Sean, we are starting off Movie Mondays this week with a little bit of a news in regards to Margot Robbie and a movie that sounds incredibly dumb based off some sort of, I don't know, just object.
Kind of children's game.
A children's game, if you will. And I don't think this will ever work. I mean, she has no track record. This is never going to happen. It's not going to make any money. But this is Margot Robbie's production company is going to be making a live action film about the board game Monopoly, Sean.
See, I think 5 years ago you gave me this headline. I'm ripping the piss out of it. Mm. But I've been proved so wrong. So, like a couple of times now about dumb concepts that just end up working.
Yeah.
So,
well, because they're also developing a film based on The Sims as well.
Which again, like, there's no reason that can't work if it's a creative production team, like, you know?
Do you know what? One of my massively distinct memories of this podcast, because we've been doing it for a few years now, is like when that, we got to see the full transition of the Barbie movie, and like, it gets announced, and it's like, oh, Margot Robbie is playing Barbie in a Barbie movie. And nothing else was announced. Nobody else in the movie, nobody else attached. And we were like, obviously, great casting, but weird choice for a movie.
Yeah, and then like, more stuff started coming out. Like, oh, Greta Gerwig's attached.
Yeah, like one of the best directors alive, Greta Gerwig. And we were like, what? And then it was like Ryan Gosling is Ken. And we were like, wait.
Is this going to be good?
And I think that was like a full 6 month chat where we were like, is this... Everyone good is attached to this. It like it can't be bad, but how can it be good?
And it wasn't like I remember. I think there's probably a quote on this show where like, look, we probably won't watch it because it's not going to be aimed at us. But we watched it. It was a really good movie.
Really good. Really, really good. Like a fucking excellent film. So I mean, Monopoly having its own movie. I mean, we've now kind of been not burned before, but I feel like we've had that moment where we're like, well, maybe, hang on. Somehow, anything can work in a movie if it has talented people around it, is what I would say.
Yes. Like, what would, like, how would you do? Because there's always the route of, like, the Tetris movie is about how they made Tetris. It's not about big blocks falling from the sky. So Monopoly, you could do... Yeah, you know, someone taking over and running the town and buying up all the utilities. Or a kid gets sucked into a real-life game of Monopoly on a giant board.
You're thinking of Sims 3, or not Sims 3, Spy Kids 3, 3D. And then we suck a child into the game and then we give him glasses that are both red and blue and now he's able to just play the game.
That's, you're close. I was thinking of Zathura, a space adventure. Technically a sequel to Jumanji.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the same universe.
Fucking weird, man. This movie, I mean, nothing else is known about it other than that, like, obviously Monopoly is possibly, like, the most well-known board game in the world.
One of the most played, surely. Do you think, is this movie going to be pro or anti-capitalism? This is my big concern with the film.
Well, I feel like if Margot is involved, it'll be... If it's based off the Barbie thing, I don't know. I'm assuming anti. I have to assume, unless there's like a weird moral thing at the end. It's like, wow, capitalism really does work, even though we questioned it.
Three cheers for the banks.
Yeah, in your head, the guy with the top hat is the hero.
Like, that's what I'm... Like, he has to be a cartoonish villain, surely.
Mr. Monopoly. He has to be evil.
He has to be, like, buying up the local dance hall and shit.
He controls the railways and commerce, as Barbie says. I mean, that's, he's the bad guy.
Yeah, so I think it's someone trying to take down Mr. Monopoly, is what we're going for here. Or you do with the Lego movie, and it's like you follow the race car for a while, or the top hat.
As it, you're saying that there should be six main characters as just the objects.
In kind of a Dungeons and Dragons-esque questing party.
Bring in Chris Pine.
Yeah, bring in the entire cast of Dungeons and Dragons.
Retitle it. Don't mention anything. Don't even act like they know each other. Just bring them in.
Yeah,
never even say anything.
It's not animated. They're dressed up as a top hat and an iron. And what else is there? A dog and a boot?
I think Mr. Monopoly's son should be the top hat. And that's where that's really where the plot thickens, is that you find out one of our heroes is actually his son.
Regular hat,
who just moves independently of anybody.
I mean, that, like, yes. And then, like, they're trying to make enough money to beat Mr. Monopoly, but in the end, friendship is priceless. It's more or less...
Like, all this to be said is we don't have a fucking clue, right, of what this plot is going to be, but Margot Robbie and that production team, I think they're called Lucky Chap, I think is the name of her production team, they've very much shown that they don't really get involved with things unless they have an idea that they think is good. Doesn't have too many misses, is what I would say. If they come on board, they normally are like, okay, somebody's got a script, somebody has an idea that we're working on, or we have a very talented director maybe in line, ready to go.
Yeah, and they'll take a risk as well. Like, they're not going to play it the safest way possible, which would be make a kids' animated Monopoly movie.
Barbie has given them that leeway now, that, like, studios are probably more likely to trust that, wait, this movie can make a few dollars. Because at the end of the day, they don't really give a shit about anything other than making dollars. But, like, so if Barbie can do it, then why not? Why can't Monopoly?
Exactly, yeah. We are way more positive than we would have been before Barbie came out about this story.
It's genuinely a completely different cinema landscape now. If that, like, if it, no matter what I think boardroom or whatever fucking room you want to go in and pitch a movie to, any movie like this, you kind of get a little bit of a leg up because Barbie went through first and they made a lot of money, and then every single person pitching is like, well, if Barbie can make money, then of course we can make money. Probably forgetting all of the very talented people who worked on Barbie, but the idea is there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just because it's, which is weird to say, just because it's an existing property doesn't mean it's not going to be successful.
I wanted to touch on that. That's coming from Lionsgate, by the way. So we will see what happens there. But Sean, I have a new story that was sent in to us multiple times by some of our lovely listeners and some of our patrons, because Amy Adams' next movie is lined up, Sean, and I don't know if you've heard about this, but she is going. Now, look, Amy Adams, you know, starred in Arrival, should have won Oscar for Arrival, very talented
really
human being. One of the best, probably, actresses alive today. She's going to be starring in a movie from Searchlight called Night Bitch, in which she turns into a dog in a horror movie. Sean, what are your thoughts on this? I think this is a great idea. Yourself?
It's a unique idea. There's no reason it can't work. it's a good get for Night Bitch to have Amy Adams on board.
You know what? I hadn't even thought of that. But imagine the people running Night Bitch, and they're like ringing people, and they're just, Halle Berry turned us down. Salma Hayek turned us down. Okay,
I'm just content to keep naming actresses at this point.
I'll tell you what I'll do. No, Margot Robbie's busy with Monopoly now, so we can't get her. So I'll tell you what I'll do. For one the lad's just like looking through his phone contacts, like, I have Amy Adams here. Just, will we, as a laugh, will we give it? Amy, you will do Night Bitch. Oh, that's
all right.
That's very good.
Just go home early, lads.
Would you like to know the plot?
Yes, I would. I would love to know.
An ambitious mother puts her art career on hold to stay at home with her newborn son. 2 years later, she steps into the bathroom for a break from her toddler's demands, only to discover a dense patch of hair on the back of her neck. In the mirror, her canine suddenly looks sharper. Then she remembers. Her husband, who travels for work 5 days a week, casually dismisses her fears.
This film should have come out in the 80s.
You're telling me if you had a partner and they just were like one day just had a big, massive, hairy neck, you wouldn't be like, hey, bro, what's going on?
Go check it out.
Fucking weird, man.
I saw a thing on TikTok about this, and it was just like, it's the most unrealistic thing in a movie where, like, you've been with this person for like 10 years. They say something's weird and you're just like, ah, don't worry about it.
Would you sit down and smile like a good little girl now sitting in the corner? Don't worry about it. Huh?
But the big game's on tonight.
I'm going with the boys. And like the child is like fucking stabbing people and like crawling up the wall. And
you're
like
crazy.
That's what they all do. You know what I mean? When they get to 3 or 4, they love crawling on the ceilings with knives.
But even like if it was like, oh, if my partner came up to me and was like, hey, aliens are real and I seen one, I'd be like, cool, okay, this is the truth now.
Yeah, well, well, initially I think the first step is, okay, well, they wouldn't say that unless there's some logical reason.
Yeah, exactly, there's evidence there. Like,
even if you said, okay, talk me through what happened, much more logical than, you're crazy.
Yeah, it's impossible. I'm not marrying an idiot.
Also, her symptoms intensify, and then she gives into her temptations, into her new dog impulses, and she now has an alter canine secret identity.
Right. So what does she? So wait, what's the impulse? She wants to just eat.
She wants to be a dog.
It's just Amy Adams being a dog for a while.
Yeah, just be a dog.
How much? Okay, so she's in. Okay, so she's in this for a bit. Then it's the dog for most of it.
At this point, right, I think she could make this good. She's that talented that she could make this good. Make this like really good. If she wasn't on the project, I think this is going straight to, I don't know, maybe Disney Plus or Amazon. This has Amazon written all over it. And yeah. It's based off a novel, by the way.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it. The novel was quite well received by all accounts.
Yeah. The director will be Marielle Heller, who directed the 2019 Mr. Rogers biopic, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, with Tom Hanks, if you remember that.
Okay, that was pretty good. I didn't watch it, but people liked it.
Yeah, I just, it's one of those where you read it and you're like, is this a bit? And they're like, no, this is actually happening. And cool, let's fucking see what happens.
Yeah, no, to be fair, make more weird movies and make more mid-budget stuff. Like, it doesn't have to be like $500,000 or $200 billion. Like,
yeah,
it can just be like, here's something we made for $30 million.
But you know what? Actually, that's a very good point, and I think we probably would have been a bit harsher. That's actually earlier on you mentioned that, like, a few years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, the cinema landscape was so different. Like, it was just tentpole movie after tentpole movie. Avengers was coming out, they were killing it. And if you were making $500 million, like, you weren't fucking doing anything. I just, like, for research for this show, like, I was taking back to Joker, because we will talk about the trailer later on, in a few minutes anyway. But, like, Joker made $1 billion. Right?
Yeah.
And it's mad to think of that now, because, like, I'm like, that back then, everything just made $1 billion. They were just like, yeah, this made $1 billion. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it made $1 billion easy, but it also cost far less than the usual $1 billion movie to produce, to make.
Yeah.
So and the, like, margin on it's insane.
Nowadays, I say, like, that was like fucking 50s, but like, even like 5 years later, like half a decade later, I think people are a lot more like, let's just go to a fucking movie in the cinema. Let's see what happens. And I hope it's like slowly turning an oil tanker. It's going to be a really slow change, but I really would like to bring back the $30 million movie that stars a big name that is just in the movie and it's fucking weird because they're kind of fun.
Yeah, like a couple, like I just found a list on IMDb of mid-budget movies, and it's shit like Ghost and Pretty Woman and The Bodyguard, American Beauty. Like, all of these movies are really, really good, and they didn't cost a bomb to make either.
Yeah, and none of those movies will be made now, is the problem.
No, and you lose a certain amount of that charm as well, when it's like, because a lower budget also, like, fuck, what's that thing? Limitation breeds creativity. Like, if you don't have just millions of dollars to CGI everything after the fact, you have to be creative and make shit work.
I like, by the way, how we're speaking like old men, but at the same time,
we're not young men.
There was something. We are old men now, but there was like a charm that, like, you used to go to, and I'm going to say these words, Sean, and please do not judge me. Video store.
Let's
go
place.
DVD store, Extra Vision, if you will, right? But you could go and just pick a movie, and you could have a fucking mad, like, array of just, it could be anything and everything.
Yeah.
And I think we do fall into the trap now that most things being made are sequels. We talk about it a lot now. So it's like, do you want number 2, number 5, number 7 of this series? But we could just go get something fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, evening.
And it'll probably be solid enough, you know?
Yeah.
Because someone came to you with an idea they were passionate about, and you gave them a respectable budget to make it.
Yeah,
that shouldn't
like
be that
crazy.
Hard.
And then, like, you spend some of the budget on, like, a big name, so it gets some eyes on it.
Yeah.
And then just go with that.
Yeah, like, you can get one of those actors who are in those movies, but it's not one of those movies. Adam Driver's the king of this. He's a big name actor who will just take any project.
He loves a $30 million movie or a $10 million movie. And look, that's great. Yeah, he'll go.
He'll do a Star Wars, but he'll also do like a Marriage Story.
Yeah, why not? Okay, so yeah, Night Bitch is coming out, Shaw, this year, December 6th. I cannot
Christmas
wait.
Time.
I think we're going to cover the trailer when it comes out. We will wait 100%. With bated breath for the trailer. I want to also touch on a sequel to a movie from the 90s, Shaw, that we know that idea always works. Mm-hmm. Think back to you had Dumb and Dumber 2, Zoolander 2. But we now have Happy Gilmore 2, Sean. It is indeed in development.
Here's the thing. I watched Happy Gilmore a lot growing up.
Was that like one of your videos that you had?
Yes, it was. Cool. Anytime I was sick, I would watch it, and I was sick a lot. So,
By the way, me and Sean hung out at the weekend with his brother, and I got his brother to tell me even more stories of Sean nearly dying multiple times. Did you know he did also drowned? Like, he wasn't breathing for a long time. They brought him back to life. I don't know if we came up with that on the show.
I can't believe I haven't talked about that. But no, I had to be resuscitated.
Your brother told me that, and I was like, this is a gold mine.
Keep talking.
Name all the other times he nearly died, but go on.
Happy Gilmore, it's a really funny movie, or at least I remember it being.
When you're 10, it's fucking
silly,
incredible.
Goofy fun. Like, he's golfing, but weird. But I don't know if it necessarily holds up, and two, I don't think that can be replicated. Because again, it's the same thing. That was a mid-budget movie that just did very, very well. I don't think they're going to try and do that again.
No, and actually, yeah, it's one of those where, like, the first one still always exists. Whenever they do any of this shit, first one is always there. We can always go back and watch the first one.
Yeah.
But, like, I think when you think of Dumb and Dumber, I think very few people would even remember that a number two actually came out.
Like, yeah, because it's so insignificant. Like, it just didn't leave any cultural mark at all.
Nothing. It just came and went. Like, it came, it didn't make any money, and it just went, and nobody went to see it. Well, maybe some people did, and those people are like, oh yeah, it was fine, but like, it wasn't the same.
It was 2 hours,
Zoolander as well. Like, Zoolander is one of my favourite movies.
Zoolander is fantastic.
Like, that movie is so dumb and so amazing, and it's so quotable. Like, I still find myself, and whenever I cough, I always say, I think I got the black lung part for no reason.
Yeah, and but that's, no one's quoting Zoolander 2.
I can't even remember what happened in Zoolander 2.
I didn't see it. Like.
There's on one side, I suppose it makes us sad because you're like, okay, well, why are we doing this? On the other side, look, if Adam Sandler wants to do this, I love the fact that he doesn't give a shit. He'll do a fucking, like, Uncut Gems, get an Oscar nomination. He's like, I'm just going to go back to making some movies with my friends.
He'll just prove he can act, like, and then, take all of his friends on holiday for
a while. Seems like one of the nicest people in Hollywood.
If I'm to be fighting in the corner for Happy Gilmore 2, a movie about someone who becomes top of their game at sports when they're really young and then has a career and is now retiring, they might be doing Happy Gilmore, but like one more job kind of a thing.
Whoa.
So he's getting back in the game. He has to learn how to golf all over again.
Or they could do a Creed which he has to teach somebody else.
Who's the new Adam Sandler?
Also a lunatic.
Who's the new Adam Sandler in Hollywood?
I don't think there is. I don't think Adam Sandler's are allowed. Because he did, like, in the 90s, right, he had that and The Wedding Singer, and then he had, like,
Billy Madison and fucking Waterboy.
All of those, they're literally $10 million, $20 million movies in a row that all made a shit ton of money, and he became a household name because people went to go see him. It's actually a tough question. Who is the Adam Sandler now?
It might be like Andy Samberg is probably close to that.
I suppose. But Samberg's like 45.
He's not young. Like, how old was Adam Sandler in Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore was 96, so find out when he was born.
That's easier, because I was just going to ask Google this. Adam Sandler was born in 1966. So he was 30.
He was 30 years old when he came out. And that was like, after he got like literally five in 5 years, back to back to back to back.
Oh, he was like, he killed, like he made so much money so young and then just kept living the same life he had been living, basically.
What a man. He's the best. But I don't know. It's interesting to talk about. Like, this movie will probably be fine. Drew Barrymore is also coming back. Barrymore is coming in. You have Adam Sandler. You got like a lot of the 1986 cast coming back as well.
Carl Weathers is dead, unfortunately. So
unfortunately, some of them have
come back.
I mean, I'm going to put a good bit of money that the poor man is probably not returning. Unless
Ben
Sandler
will come back.
Did Dodgeball 2 come out yet, actually?
No, but that has to be talked about, surely.
No, that's already confirmed.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure Vince Vaughn confirmed that, like, a few months ago, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's still just in planning, in production.
They're trying to get that going as well. But I'm not quite sure. Like, we will see what happens with that. But yeah, Happy Gilmore 2 is coming down the line. If it's not good, very similar to Zoolander 2 and all them, just go watch the first one again. Yeah. Still holds up.
It's pretty good.
Still, I mean, not all the jokes land like they did in 1996, but that kind of is natural. But at the same time, a lot of it still holds up. I'd give it about 85%.
Yeah, some of it's really, I maintain some of it has to still be really funny.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to move on to our next piece of news now, Sean, and we are covering a movie that I think was revolutionary when it first came out.
To intro these seriously, by the way.
It actually had a $10 million budget, so okay. Right along what we were talking about. There's a weird theme to this week's episode. But Sean, Blumhouse and Lionsgate, after 25 years, have confirmed that they are going to be releasing a new Blair Witch film that will be coming back out.
See? Blair Witch is only scary because of the time it came out and everyone thought it was real.
Yeah, Blair Witch is, I think, genuinely possibly what the greatest piece of movie marketing ever done.
Yes. Will never be topped. Because it can't be.
It can't be. Everything is so saturated now. Yeah. It came at the exact perfect moment in the perfect amount of time.
Yeah.
Just in, like, we've been on the planet for how many years, and that movie came out at the exact perfect time that it needed to.
Because the internet wasn't it was kind of a thing, but, like, only not everyone used it. So everything that people learned on the internet basically became rumor, and no one saw these actors because they were unknowns. And it made for, like, no money and made a bajillion dollars.
I actually, I lied to you there because it actually didn't have a $10 million budget. It had a $35,000 budget originally. I was actually looking at, they were talking about, recently they released Imaginary, and that had a $10 million budget. So they were thinking, well, if that's made $10 million, whoa, what would a Blair Witch remake or sequel? I suppose it'll have to be a remake. Blair Witch 2 did actually come out in the year 2000.
Did, yeah, yeah, and it was poorly received.
Yeah, it was not great.
I think you need to make it can be a Blair Witch movie, but you can't market it or announce it as a Blair Witch movie. It should be just a random other movie on Blumhouse's catalog. That just once you sit down, you start watching it and you're like, oh fuck, is this the Blair Witch?
Yeah, like, because
you're not going to get the audience reaction that you got for the first one, where there was actual fucking hunts going on for this thing.
So it was shot for $35,000, and after production and everything, it kind of soared to maybe $200,000. It grossed $250 million worldwide. So when we say, like, this movie, to kind of try and put it into perspective if you don't know the story, is they shot this film, and it's like found footage. It was the very first found footage idea for a horror movie, and now that it's been done to death in the last 24 years.
Cloverfield and Paranormal Activity and all that.
Because you can do them for so cheap. You just stick a camera in a corner and then just have people be weird. But Like, this was a documentary team go out to the woods and you're following along.
And, like, the directors weren't hands-on. They just let the actors improv off each other. And they had story beats, but that was it.
Like, yeah. And the idea is that, like, people were watching this and the trailer comes out and people are like, this is real.
Yeah.
And they 100% thought it was real because it's 1999 or 98. The internet is completely in its infancy. There's no such thing as fake news. Or
no, like, and this kind of project and production hadn't been done before, ever.
No. Like, this is before even, on a much smaller scale, The Office. Like, a fake interview crew are following people around with, like, sit-down interviews. This was found footage of these people in the woods.
It was a time, and this sounds patronising, but it was a time where you could trust a documentary. It was like, no, they made a documentary.
Spinal Tap, perhaps. Yeah. But well, after that.
No, that's a good one.
But Spinal Tap was obviously satire and, like, joking. Yes. Whereas this was, like, it was shot completely real. The actors were great.
It was like, we found this. We don't know what it is. We just put it together.
Like, yeah, and, like, it cost such $250 million, like, for this movie.
It's the biggest return on investment for, like, in terms of percentage, it's the biggest box office hit. Or was, at least, for a very, very, very long time. Before this, it was the first Mad Max, which was made on a shoestring budget and then was super, super successful.
And I think it's one of those where even by the second one, so the second one came out in 2000 and it didn't even make half as much money, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I think it made it even less than a quarter of the same money, right? But the genie was already out of the bottle by 2000. That this movie literally came out in 1999, bang, smack bang in the middle, perfect time in everyone's lives, that it just makes a shit ton of money. So the idea that in 2024, you're going to somehow, this is a good idea, kind of takes away a lot of the, I don't know, I was going to say the magic, but that's a kind of a dickhead word to use, you know what
no,
I mean?
No, it takes away the plausibility of it. Like, because you're not, like, it. The reason Blair Witch is successful, and it was basically pure word of mouth, because there was news stations advertising your movie for you.
Yeah.
And that just can't happen now, which is sad.
And they also had a promotional marketing campaign that had listed the actors as missing or deceased.
Yeah, and they didn't appear in public, they didn't do press or anything.
Amazing.
Like, it's just such commitment to a bit, which studios would be afraid to do.
So, I mean, the idea this movie's coming out, will this make any money?
Genuinely, it would be really sad if this Blair Witch made a loss. Like, they spend $50 million on it, and it makes $2 million in its opening weekend or something.
Yeah, it's gone. Like, this is actually perfect to kind of to keeping with our theme of the episode of just this made money once, so we can do it again. And I don't know if they get the actual why the first one made money. They just see that it made money.
Yeah, like now you would have to lean into. It would need to be very public, and you need to, like, the actors need to be, for months, like, documenting stuff themselves just on social media, and then it all starts going wrong.
Yeah, I think you need, like, the, I'm going on a trip, like, on their Twitter or, like, Instagram. You could do, like, Instagram. It would take months.
Yeah, you would have to spend. Pre-production would be insane on it.
You'd spend a fortune on social media marketing managers that would literally just sit down and do individual posts of them, like, oh, going on a hike at the weekend or going on a hike in 6 months. It's going to be a crazy one. Or my friend asked me to be just his cameraman. It's weird. So, I just said I would.
And, like you, and it needs to be unknowns, basically. Like, people just need to find these stories naturally.
You can't promote once.
No.
You just literally have to have their Twitter pages and their Instagram pages just found.
And you just need to, as a studio, you have to trust that it's going to work. Because that's what it is. You need word of mouth to happen on the internet.
Yeah, and not one trailer.
No promoted ads for this. Nothing like that. It's just word of mouth. And then something happens, the accounts go dead for 2 weeks, and then someone puts out a statement being like, we've collected some footage, we're putting it together, here it is.
And also, don't call it the Blair Witch.
No, because, like, that's the worst
call it
idea.
Anything else.
Yeah, like, part of me again thinks that this is, someone came up with a script for a ghost story and they're like, oh, we'll throw Blair Witch on that. Like, yeah. The laziest way of trying to add credibility to
because they ran out of Paranormal Activity, so they're like, oh, let's do Blair Witch. Yeah.
Did they circle back on those yet? Surely they're due a
reboot. I think they did. I'm not quite sure. I think there are like 6 or 7 of them.
Is there a storyline in those? Or no?
You don't need one. Just have fucking people acting normal and then the baby's head starts spinning around halfway through and then it catches it on camera but the people don't see it and then you just build it
classic.
From there.
The first Paranormal Activity did quite well for itself, to be fair.
Oh, so much. So good. Because it was kind of on the same line. I think it was like 05 maybe?
Yeah, but it was the trick with that is they set it in a home. Like in a house.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it'll happen anyway.
So we're going to finish off the movie section of the show, Sean, about talking about the big trailer that came out last week.
Of course.
That is your favourite movie and my favourite movie, the sequel to Joker.
It's Joker 2.
This is Joker 2. And so this, I mean, locked in, Sean. You got Joaquin Phoenix. You got Lady Gaga. It's a great idea. It's just a fantastic thing. Sean, I know you loved the first movie. You said it was your favourite movie of all time.
No,
how do you feel about the first trailer for this movie?
Watching this first trailer, I think I see how you felt about the first movie. Because I'm just watching it being like, why does this exist? I don't want anything to do with this. It looks wanky as fuck.
I genuinely felt not. And I mean that in, like, I didn't feel good nor bad.
No.
I was just like, look, somebody's going to like this. This is not for me.
And if you do like it, that's totally fine. Let's just say that out.
Because it does look fucking fantastic in terms of visually.
Yeah. Visually, like, in terms of cinematography, lovely looking film.
It's definitely going to win the Oscar for cinematography, I would say, probably next year.
It's up against Dune.
Oh, it is. I just thought that, yeah. That's going to be a tough battle.
Especially
because it's a musical, they leaned into that in this trailer. They kind of very much kept it clear, unlike the Willy Wonka movie recently that never mentioned it.
That's true. But I also don't care. I don't want to. Because I'm just preempting being in the cinema and watching a plot point happen. And then they're bursting into song and I'm like, fuck, I have to sit through this now for 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose our negatives with this, they don't really come from the performers due to the fact that we know Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga are going to fucking murder this movie. They're going to kill it. Absolutely kill it.
This is the thing, and this is what I'm going to steal some of your points that you brought up in our Joker review, but like everyone in this is supremely talented. Yeah. I just don't care and don't want it to exist.
So if anyone hasn't been listening to for a long time, so the first Joker came out and I absolutely love Batman, so you're thinking that's right up my alley. But personally for me, and look, it's fine if you love the Joker, a lot of people did, it made a lot of money. But for me, I don't want to see where the Joker comes from, I don't want to see his origin, I don't care. I actually find that whole thing a bit boring. I want him to just be a psychopath who shows up and enjoys killing people. And it's actually scarier if we never find anything out about him. He's
like
just
the Blair Witch. Like, it should just be a force of nature.
He's come from nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's come from nothing and he just, and like, you can have some of the stories where we find out, like, oh, he just had one bad day and it kind of turned him bad. But like, as an idea of Joker, my idea is always, I don't know anything. He just exists.
He just is.
Like the Big Bang, he just appeared one day. And then he's just causing havoc all around Gotham. So the Joker movie, I remember we talked about before it came out. I was like, this is just not for me. I mean, it'll probably be good. I don't really want to watch it. I went to watch it and I was like, Joaquin Phoenix is excellent in a movie in which I don't think it should exist.
Yeah, you made the point of like, if you just call that movie The Clown, it's a better movie.
Yeah, I think if you call it The Clown and don't have any connection to Batman or Gotham, I'm like, oh, that's a pretty dark, fucked up movie that's kind of cool. Joaquin Phoenix is excellent in it.
Yeah, but I also, like, I don't think it's groundbreaking, as many tweets and comments would have you believe. Everyone's saying that fucking one shot at the end where she draws a smile on and he leans into it.
It's a great shot, to be fair.
It's the best thing in cinema that's ever happened. Like,
I will just say it's a great shot, right?
It is a great shot.
But I did see Dune 2 this year as well, though. That might be the prettiest movie I've ever seen in my life.
That is true. And also, that same shot is in all of the promo materials for The Dark Knight, which is Heath Ledger's Joker behind the glass with the smile on it.
Yeah, but never in live action, Sean. Okay, don't be happy,
never
right?
Never in motion, was it?
I'm defending the Joker 2 above The Dark Knight. I'm like, no, Sean, you don't get it, bro.
Let everyone take a note of that.
You don't get it, right? It's just, this is cinema, man. This is Todd Phillips. He knows what he's doing. He did The Hangover 3. He's clearly good. I think this movie is going to be... not for me, but good.
Yeah. I think it's going to make money. I don't think it will make as much money as the first Joker did. It may make enough money that Warner Brothers can afford to market the Batman.
I just want to bring out the Batman 2. Like, actually, I think I've softened a lot in the years since, because I think in 2019, like, we were still in that Zack Snyder, like, they were trying to build a universe. Now it's like, why are you muddying the waters with this stuff when the other main stuff is also shit? Like, what are you doing? Whereas I think now, like, James Gunn is at the helm. There's a plan. Well, there seems to be a plan. There seems to be an idea.
Yeah, seems safe.
We haven't seen anything, but I assume it's not going to be terrible. And then since then, we've also had The Batman come out with Matt Reeves. And I'm like, oh, I'm back. This is good.
Can I see this like little happy moment you're having here of like enjoying things and liking things? Can I just throw one tiny little incy-wincy spanner in the works?
You can if you want, but you're going to make me sad. You don't want to do that, but please go on.
So the title cards used in this trailer.
Yeah.
Big red text on black background.
No, this is not the Joker. Extremely for Pattinson.
Similar.
We've seen Barry. It's okay.
All I'm saying is extremely similar, Connor.
Barry is locked in as the Joker in the Batman universe.
You didn't
like that either. Yeah, well, no, I didn't want him anywhere near. I just don't want the Joker in a fucking Batman movie for 10 to 15 years. Fucking kill me.
Let me earn the Joker.
I don't mind the character, but Batman has loads of great characters, and I actually think the best use of Barry's Joker in those movies is have him in jail. And we talked about that, me and you actually talked about that at the weekend when we were chatting, but it was like literally just have Barry's Joker always in jail and Batman goes to see him,
like the Hannibal Lecter Clarice thing, like you go to the expert psychopath to find out more about psychopaths.
And when he never actually gets out or causes that. I think that's kind of a unique take on it as well, that you could kind of delve into other characters that the Batman has. We're still waiting on several of the ones that we like. There's a big muddy one that we want.
Clayface film, please.
But yeah, so I think that's it for our bit of a... Are you excited about Joker 2? Yeah.
I'm going to give it a nay. I'm going to stay unexcited for this one the entire time.
I'm going to say it's not a guy. I will not watch it. It's fine.
He's not watching it, ladies and gentlemen.
I won't even watch it.
We're going to miss out on so many listens, Connor.
So I think that's enough of our movie news. And I think it's time that we move on to our weird news section of the show. And Sean, it's time for the weird news jingle. Was that good?
It was good. We don't need to wait for the duration of the jingle, by the way. I can edit that. You can just keep talking if you want.
I sat here for 47 seconds. Is that not right?
No, it's 48, actually. We'll do it again.
I came in too early.
As usual.
But Sean, it's time for Weird News. This is the show where I find all the strangest news stories from around the world. And you haven't heard them, obviously.
No.
So... If you like movie news, this one's a bit more lighthearted, is what we would say. It's just stuff that happens around the world that we kind of think is funny. Yeah, and we like bringing it up.
This is we're now entering the chatting shit section of the show, which I think everyone enjoys every now and again.
We have a lot less like opinions.
Yeah, you're not going to hear anything about mid-budget movies in this part, okay?
Woman who married zombie doll has now wedded again to 6-foot doll with doll kids.
Wait, do we not have... We talked about the zombie doll.
Yes.
They had kids, didn't they? There was another doll kid story.
There was dolls. No, I think this was the same woman. So a woman with a zombie doll... No, she had a zombie doll wife, is hoping to spice up her marriage by having a polyamorous relationship and bringing a six foot male alien doll into the relationship.
Why an alien? Why does he have to be a... Oh, and the alien has kids already.
So this is Massachusetts-based Felicity Cadillac, who this week came out and says that she feels a spiritual connection with the dolls, whom she met online.
As in, you pressed order. You pressed buy it now.
You can only assume. They didn't meet on, like, Tinder. Or Bumble. Like, I'm assuming, like, yeah, she put them in a basket and then went to checkout.
But that doesn't count as marrying someone.
It does count as meeting them online, technically.
I suppose so. My God, I've looked up the pictures.
6 foot, a stallion of a man. A stallion of a doll. She previously made headlines for marrying a zombie flannel doll. It's a lumberjack named Kelly Rossi in 2018, Sean. That is how long ago we discussed this.
That's early doors of the show.
But it seems, Sean, that it wasn't enough for a 26-year-old, as she's now wed another doll named Robert Cadillac. She was the one who proposed, apparently.
Well, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? Otherwise, that's a defective doll.
She'd have to always be the one that proposes in, I suppose, in any relationship, really.
These are so fucking freaky, man. They're really unsettling to look at.
After putting a ring on the finger of Kelly, who we're told, this is like a report, this is actually genuinely reporting, is 16 years her senior. Okay.
An older zombie woman.
Zombie doll woman.
Older zombie doll woman.
Felicity stated seeing Robert on the side, or started seeing Robert on the side, shortly after they tied the knot. Jesus. So all three are now in a happy polyamorous relationship, Sean.
Look, that's fine if that works. But the umbrage that I take with this story is that they're dolls.
I want to stress, I really don't give a fuck. If you're in a polyamorous relationship and the three are fucking happy and delighted with yourselves, go on. It's grand, right? I think the main issue we have here is that there's really only one person driving that triangle.
Yeah.
Two of them don't really get much of a say.
It's more so just Amory, I think.
At that point, it's you and people that you buy.
You just like having things. And
I think
fine.
Objects.
Yeah. I've got my little, you know, my little Spider-Man statues around the place. That's fine. I enjoy those things.
Yeah. But and if you said to me, I'm in a polyamorous relationship, I'm like, oh, fuck, fair play to you, lad. But then if you said, ... with my Spider-Man statues, I would say, Sean, maybe we shouldn't hang out.
Sean, two episodes was a good run, you know?
We're going to bring this to an end.
Look, it didn't work. Sometimes these things fizzle out, you know?
Fizzle out after two episodes. So the doll lover explained that she met the dolls on a Halloween prop website called Creepy Collection, where she purchased both of them for $1,000.
Why? $1,000? Ah, they're high quality dolls, I suppose. But
well, you spend the rest of your life with them. You'd want them to be high quality.
Say this was a human and you went looking for love on... you know, creepypeople.com. What do you expect is going to happen there? Why do they have to be an alien and a zombie? Surely there's functional...
You know what, actually? That's possibly the only part of it that slightly makes sense in a weird, fucked up way. I'm going to try and figure out some logic, right? if you had human-looking dolls, I think it's somehow weirder.
There's a whole, yeah, there is a whole industry already about companion dolls.
Yeah.
You know?
But to me, I think it actually makes you more aware. It's like in a movie when they try and do human form and they're like, it's just slightly off.
It's like the
and like our human
brain
thing. Can okay. connect that. But if it's an alien and you tell us it's an alien, we don't really make that connection anymore.
A zombie, if it looks fucked up, it's fucked up. Like it's
exactly.
Interesting. Okay, so you think it's for believability that she's going for the zombie yeah. and the alien.
Now, pictures of the wedding reveal the zombie doll children too, Sean, which Felicity says the three of them are raising together. The children are called Rachel, Luna, Billy, Holly, Victor, Marty, Finney, Gremley, Robbie, and Molly.
Right. Again, these are all dolls. These are the most unsettling of the bunch. Because you know what a child looks like. And this is nothing like any of them.
And you know, officer, clothes. What a child looks like. And the trouble have also revealed that they are expecting another zombie child doll named
in
8 Peter
to 12
soon.
Working days.
Whenever it gets delivered. The marriage with Robert took place on Valentine's Day, where her supportive grandfather led the ceremony.
Jesus.
As a 25-year-old broke tradition and wore a red dress.
That's what's breaking
wedding.
Tradition, is it?
That's the one bit that's broken tradition. That's no broken every bit of tradition I've ever had.
Don't bring granddad into this, though.
Poor granddad. I mean, like, he must just love his granddaughter a lot, and he's just trying to be supportive.
And that's lovely. That's really sweet.
Yeah.
But let the man do what he wants in his senior years.
He'll be dead soon. Allow him just to sleep.
How does he feel about the age gap between herself and the dolls, you know?
I mean, imagine if that was the thing. Like, he's grand. He's grand at everything, but he's like, a bit fucking old for you, though.
Yeah,
it's a bit old for you.
Look, maybe people will look back on this episode and we're bigoted for thinking that people can marry dolls. But I just think it's weird that someone can marry a doll and sometimes two humans who love each other can't marry each other.
In some places in the world, yeah.
I think that's pretty fucked.
I'm going to be vague enough to say I feel that you should be allowed to marry as long as the person you want to marry firstly wants to marry you back. And secondly, when they stand behind maybe some sort of glass or a mirror, if they stand in front of a mirror, some sort of breath, you can see some sort of condensation on that surface.
Yeah, I think something like I don't think that's an outrageous thing to say, that something has to be alive for you to be able to marry.
I think breathing is important in a partner.
Yeah.
I think either way, breathing is the most important part.
Breathing and consent are two of the cornerstones of marriage.
You can say that we're a bit of a relationship expert.
Yeah.
But I'm always looking for people who are both breathing and also consenting.
Maybe I'm old fashioned.
And if you've only got one of them, then you've gone. You still need to say no. You need to stop. That's always the way to look at it.
And especially when there's kids involved, you know, you have to you have to take things easy there as well.
Yeah, well, if there's kids involved and the other person is dead, but they can't consent if they're dead, so they have to be step one breeding, step two.
Can't marry a corpse, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm against that one as well. Even if they used to be breeding and they've stopped, still a no-no.
No, you can be, you can be married to someone and they become a corpse. And then you're no longer married because they're dead.
That's a bit harsh to the people who may be married for 60 years. Maybe they keep the wedding ring on, you know, yourself.
Oh, that's
but,
fair. No, that's a different thing. But like, legally, that person doesn't have any holdings or anything at the minute.
They've got no shares anymore.
Like, you take over that person's estate.
All their cryptocurrency is yours. You have all of their
all
NFTs
the cryptocurrency
and monkeys.
Belongs to whoever holds the fucking hard drive, all right? If that happens to be me on the way to the coffin, what about it?
On the day of the wedding, by the way, when asked the I do question, she said yes, and then she looked at the doll and said, he says yes, and kissed the doll.
Right. I'd like to get his word on that, please.
How do you feel about this woman, Sean? How do we stop this?
I wouldn't hang out with her. I think
everyone, each to their own, but I would just say, if she asked me all year round even to get a coffee, I would say I have things on, even if I didn't.
Yeah, like, I don't, like, do it, like, do whatever you want if you're not hurting anyone. That's what we always say. But it's, and this seems redundant to say on Weird News, it's a bit fucking odd, isn't it?
Leave the grandfather out of it. That's my main gripe with this.
Keep this. This is your own business. Right?
Your granddad just probably wants to hang out with you. Like, he probably is like, he's very delighted that you're involving him in his things, and he's like, oh, great. And that's a really sweet thing. But maybe get him involved in something a bit less weird. Just, I don't know, take up a hobby, sewing. Maybe
take him to the beach. You know,
take him to the beach.
Buy him an ice cream.
Take up a sport. He can come watch you play some sort of sport.
Go watch the footy with him.
Find out what he likes. Yeah. And go do that with him.
See if he wants to get married to anyone.
Some sort of doll, maybe. I don't know.
That's all I know.
But Sean, we're going to have to move on to our next piece of news. And I have an employee who really, for some reason, reminds me of you. And I don't know why, because I have employee secretly hangs his own art in German museum.
I get where you're coming from. That does track. I also feel you should be allowed to do that.
What do you mean you should be allowed to do that?
If there's space on the wall, you should be able to just put up a picture if you're proud of it.
So, apparently, this is according to the police, the artist was a 51-year-old employee in the technical services department of the museum.
Okay.
He allegedly hoped that showing his work in the museum would lead to future opportunities. Details of his stud remain unclear, but it's reported that not even the museum administration is sure how long the work was hung on the wall before they caught it.
This in itself is art, Connor. Because now we have a discussion about what is and is not art.
Are you his lawyer in court being like, Your Honour, this is art?
If Banksy hung up a picture, we'd all be fucking delighted.
Yeah, we'd be fucking loving it if Banksy did it. But you're saying this random 51-year-old technical services employee, he's not allowed to put up his picture of a house with the sun in the corner.
And how long was it up there? Oh, you can't tell me because you thought it belonged there.
Because you thought it was art.
Yeah.
Or the other side of it is you were doing your job well enough to know that it was up there, which I think is indicting of you, not of him.
Lawler and Mean. We're Mean on the Law.
Lawler and Mean. We're Mean on the Law. We're here again. We're the Foggy Nelson and Murdoch, but like for people who are definitely guilty and always going to go to jail.
We only take losing cases.
Yeah. The employee being investigated is not likely to face any major charges, apparently. But the supervisor noticed something like this after a while and immediately got it taken down. The only criminal offence he could face is a minor infraction for drilling two holes into what had been a bare wall.
See, I would have put up a command strip myself.
I think you need to do blue tack if you're going to do it.
So, yeah, see, blue tack, there's always the risk that it marks the paint a little bit, you know? So you can't do that in an art gallery.
He has been let go from the job and is banned from re-entering the museum.
So you need to make it. Now is your chance. See, it's a very narrow window where he can become some renegade artist who breaks in and places his art on museum walls that didn't ask for it.
And I think the real art should be that he somehow gets his art on the walls of the museum and then a timer starts. And the art is we watch the timer count up to see how long it takes for someone to find it.
He's in technical services. He could set up like a webcam and like it's an online thing of like, let's all look at how long this art stays up.
Yeah, and it's the camera's so close so you can't make out where it is.
Yeah, it's hidden somewhere in the building.
But it's not just that one museum, Sean. It's all museums in Germany. He goes around putting them in other places.
And one by one, the cameras start turning off all over the website.
Oh,
and
there's only that's one the left. Art!
Yeah. And then like they take that down and he has sealed himself into the wall there and he's a skeleton now.
he's killed himself.
Die Pure Art.
I just like the idea, and he's like, he's sitting at home and he's working there for maybe 15 years, and he's just like, I could definitely get one of my arts, my paintings in there. Yeah. I'm telling you now.
Like, and if it was a blank wall, like, it's not like he took down another picture.
No, in my head, the wall has been blank for a few months, and they keep saying, oh, we may get someone to fill that in.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I'll figure that out, I'll sort it out, don't you worry.
I don't even know, was it in, like, because galleries, fair enough, they, like, they bring in artists and they have exhibitions of their work. It could have just been in, like, a hallway. I'm just like, it's just some art, man.
Just let him have it. At this point, let him have it. If it was there for longer than a week,
yeah,
without anyone noticing, then he should be allowed to have the wall.
What happened to the picture? Did he get it back?
I assume they took it off and gave it back to him, yes.
You can sell that on. That's more money now.
It is now actually worth more money because it has been on the wall in the museum.
Yeah, and more importantly, it's worth more than it was taken down.
Oh,
now it's yes. Art that's caused trouble.
See, I think he could go all the way with this. I mean, I think how long is it, like, if you lose something? It's like 48 hours.
For
if you don't
what?
Reclaim it, you get... Isn't it the
Ireland,
police
it's a year
like,
and a day. If something is
a year and a day.
It's a year and a day before you can get it back.
Oh, I found all those lost properties and I just kept keeping them because it was 48 hours and nobody claimed them.
This hero on TikTok, this Australian dude, he's just like listing like properties that have been vacant for 10 years and being like, if anyone wants to squat in those, squatting's not illegal in Australia.
Fuck
and he's
off.
Just giving people addresses. It's unreal.
That's a... Well, look, we don't want to get into it. This is the number of people we have, and this is the number of empty buildings we have. Maybe we should change that around, especially if those empty buildings have been empty for a few years.
They're just investment properties that people are fucking hoarding for themselves.
I feel like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? If they're empty, they're empty. You know what I mean?
Sure, look, I have a person who needs a house. I have a house. Fucking slam those together.
Put 1 + 1 = 2, get them through the fucking door and say nothing. Is squatting not illegal in Australia?
Not in Australia, no. The act of squatting is that, like, breaking and entering is. So you can't break into somewhere, but if a door is unlocked, you can just squat there.
Hmm. What if I break the door down?
No, that's breaking and entering.
What if I get somebody else that I know to unlock the door through illegal means, but then I don't know that they've unlocked the door and I turn up and the door is unlocked?
Then you have conspiracy to commit breaking and entering on your
but
hands.
What if I don't know that they're gonna what if my uncle right mm-hmm. my uncle wins the lottery
I see
right?
I'm on the receiving end of this
and
now.
He buys off a criminal, a master criminal who's able to unlock doors, but I don't know he's bought the criminal to unlock the door, and he unlocks the door, and then I randomly aside to that house go and open the door and it's open.
Like, conceivably, there's a world where you're going around trying all the doors on this list and none of them are locked. You tell your uncle about this. He wins the lottery. Decides, I want to help my nephew. I'm not going to buy him a house. I'm going to hire someone to go around and kick in one of these doors so that when he does his routine checks of the area, suddenly he tries it and opens it. That's fine. That's absolutely allowed.
That's fine. That's fucking allowed, lads. Perfect.
Look, my grasp of Australian property law is flawless, Connor.
I think we're pretty in the clear. When the criminals start coming down, we're not going down with them, is what I'm saying.
No, and look, we do podcasts from Australia, as is well known.
Yeah, every week.
Yeah, so we're going to... It's been murder on the bank account, to be honest, folks. But going to get a bigger studio next week, God willing. Got to keep trying those locks.
My uncle's after coming into a bit of money recently. So, any day now, we'll find somewhere. Sean, we're going to move on to our next piece of news. And I have $1.4 billion found in bank account, but nobody has a clue where it came from.
What? You have to keep tracks of those things, surely.
Now look, we've all misplaced some pocket change at one point or another, Sean.
I lost a fiver 8 years ago and I'm still pissed off about it.
I seen the posters in your hometown still up.
I'm
like, have you seen this fiver? And it's just a picture of a fiver.
It's an actual fiver stapled to the thing. God, where is it?
I just can't find it. So in South Carolina, they've racked up an enormous amount of wealth over the last decade, and nobody has any idea where it's come from. So Republican Governor Henry McMaster went on to confirm last week that no money was lost after the bizarre find. So apparently the bank account might be the result of ongoing accounting troubles for the state, which all stemmed from a computer system transition in the late 2010s.
And so, since then, there's just had, like, there's been 1.8 billion has just appeared.
So $1.8 billion, billion pounds, both types. So pounds is 1.4, dollars is 1.8.
Right.
It's like, apparently, right, now look, call me a conspiracy theorist, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a bit coincidental that, you know, they just happened to have $1.8 billion sitting in a bank account that nobody knew about.
That, yeah, oh, to, and, like, in, it's rule one of money laundering. Is like, if you can do it in a way that's confusing and hard to track, do it that way. Upgrading your entire accounting system is the opportunity to hide money.
Well, the elected Comptroller General in the area, Richard Ekstrom, even ended up stepping down last year after his agency double posted money in one of their education accounts. So they do have problems in the past. This was an incredible $3.5 billion error that was all on paper, which cost him his job. So
yeah,
the $3.5 billion
so.
In the hole. Yeah, I think if we went to our work and lost $3.5 billion, we would also be fired.
If I lost a grand, I'd be fired.
Yeah. Like, even if you work in a shop and the cash register doesn't balance and it's out by €200, you're getting fired.
100%. Like, but this lad lost $3.5 billion and probably still got his pension.
He's like, I'll go somewhere else. It's fine. So, look. The lawmakers are now asking why the money was in the bank account in the first place. Good question. They also want to know why officials never addressed the problem once they discovered it. Another very good question.
God, these detectives are doing all the right things here.
It appears that when the state's books were up in the air, money was moved over from somewhere...
It's impossible to track.
it's very tough to track money and just banks and stuff. There's no real evidence.
There's no systems in place for that.
Politics really shouldn't come into play. People prefer their accountants not to be crusaders, said one guy, Larry Grooms.
Oh, Larry. I would prefer my accountant to know the fuck where money comes and goes from.
But Republican Governor, by the way, Henry McMaster, stated, it does not inspire confidence, but the good news is no money was lost. But it was.
It was.
It was, Henry. Because we don't know where that's come from.
That's not where that money's meant to be.
So my question to you, Sean, is where did that money come from?
Jeez, I don't know. Were they letting Apple dodge tax? Oh no, that was Ireland for years.
There's definitely a bank account somewhere.
Like, is it, maybe it's like a situation, was interest building on it over and over again, or was it one just deposit of 1.8 billion?
You would be able to find that deposit, surely.
You would think, but like,
this is all bullshit. Like, they definitely know how that money
this is a scam. Like,
it's definitely a scam. We don't know what the scam is, but there's no way that nearly $2 billion is sitting in a bank account and nobody in the government of that area knows why that nearly $2 billion is sitting in that bank account.
Like, I'll be honest, and I don't know if this is inciting fear. I don't want to have some kind of It's a Wonderful Life situation.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be leaving my money in that bank. I'd be taking it all out.
Because clearly somebody in that bank is working with somebody not working in that bank to put that money in that account.
I don't, like, at one point, that's such a ludicrous number as well.
Yes.
Like, that's just numbers.
It's not like, oh, $20 million or $50 million, which is a lot of fucking money. But $1.8 billion.
It's disgustingly wealthy. Like,
and all the schools don't have books. It's like,
Yeah, like, I guarantee that hospital is, like, 150 beds short of what it needs.
No beds. We don't have the money for it. We just don't know where it all went.
We have to charge people $2,000 to take an ambulance.
I don't understand how somebody has lost that amount of money.
It's like, definitely not lost, though. It's placed there.
The money is resting in somebody's account. But I love that the politicians have to, or like the government have to be like, it was just somebody lost it. Yeah. There's no way. If we lost a tenner, and I was like, I had a tenner in my wallet, where did it go?
Yeah.
I would be for days thinking like, where the fuck did I put that? I definitely had it. I didn't spend it. I know I didn't spend it. A 50. Sean, have you lost a 50 euro note?
I never have. But like, it would ruin me, Connor. Just emotionally, I would be in bits.
So imagine if somebody gave you $1.8 billion and then you were like, where the fuck did I put that $1.8 billion? What the fuck?
I'll throw it on cards.
I definitely had it on Tuesday. Where did I put it?
How do you, like, what's 1.1 point? Like, I genuinely can't wrap my head around the number. Like, how does that not stand out on any kind of reporting? Yeah. It's an account with 1.4 billion in it.
We're down $1.8 billion or £1.4 billion for this month, boss. What do we do? We'll just write it off.
It's a rounding error. It's fine.
It's just a round it up. Round it up. It's fine. I don't understand. I don't understand what's happening.
Like, what if there's another billion somewhere?
Just somewhere else. There's guaranteed more billions somewhere. My point to everyone listening is, if you are interested, I would go maybe to your local bank and just ask, can you start checking some accounts?
Yeah.
Because there might be one that's unnamed, unassigned. Take that one. It's yours now, if you're allowed to have it.
Wouldn't that be mad if you could just go in and ask? Say, like, is there any accounts that just aren't being used? Can I have it?
It's very similar to the houses. Like, just be like, has this been used in the last 5 years? Is there any accounts that just are on a side, no name on them anymore? The person's long dead.
Yeah. No one's come to claim it. It's just sitting there. It's just going to go to the bank at the end of the day, I guess.
And you're saying all this to the bank?
Yeah.
You guys don't want it. You got enough on your plate. I'll take that off your hands.
And the person at the till is like, actually, do you know what? You're right. Fuck this. And then I have
fuck
them on
the system. Sean, we're going to finish off the weird news section of this week because I have possibly my favourite story to come out of. Last week we had a solar eclipse, you do remember.
It was cloudy. I didn't see it.
It was. I don't know. We couldn't see it in Ireland, unfortunately, due to the fact it was nighttime here when it happened. I'm pretty positive.
Maybe. I don't know.
It was 1:40 p.m. in America.
That'll be like, depending on the part of America, it's like 7 or 8 here. It's still bright. Yeah, it's around stretching
it's,
evenings.
Well, it's iffy enough at that stage now. It's been raining a long time.
It's been raining for so long. We haven't had three days without rain since July.
I was literally going to say that there was a stat that I read. Yeah, sorry, what's the stat again?
Ireland hasn't had a consecutive 3 days without rain since last July.
So the other stat I have, of the last 38 days in Ireland, 32 of them, it's rain.
It's the worst. It's bad this year, man. Like, it's...
But don't worry, Sean, you got to get started getting excited because global warming is coming down the corner in June and we are going to be fucking roasted here.
Oh, everyone loves sweaty podcasts, don't they?
Whoop the lads. Here we go. So, Sean, solar eclipse coverage because Mexican station airs testicles on live TV.
This is perhaps the epitome of lads, lads, lads.
Look, that's not the moon blocking the light. One Mexican TV station's solar eclipse coverage on Monday was completely shot, and I'm going to read the words said in this article, totally nuts.
Well, they made a balls of that, didn't they?
News anchors from Mexico's RCG Media were commenting just as the eclipse entered totality. But things got really interesting when they cut to a different angle of a bright light, presumably the sun. Seconds later, the testes dipped into frame, blocking the light.
Good, like, it's...
live on TV.
This amazing celestial event that is incredibly rare, and everyone, something primal makes you go back and just focus on it for a minute. And this lad thinks, wouldn't it be gas if I teabagged the camera?
So, gave audiences a brief but very close look at someone's family jewels. You could see the visible shock on the faces of the two anchors on set as they are still live on TV trying to introduce this.
Trying not to laugh, presumably.
So look, how did the testicles end up on the broadcast is the question. Well, RCG Media reportedly asked viewers to send in personal eclipse footage.
So they've asked for a group of people to do something and not take the piss is what's happening.
They've asked people to send in their footage of them and the total eclipse. And they were like, wouldn't this be a lovely thing? All the viewers are getting involved. We could say, oh, this is from Sandra, or this is from Jorge. It's Mexican. I'm just going Jorge. This is from all the people. How lovely to send in all these clips. It's
this
a lovely daytime news.
He's on holidays.
It's PG. You can take it. It's fine, right? But in hindsight, pretty risky. Because people, as you said, will take the piss. And so one person clearly sent in this post that they were like, oh, that must be the sun. And then just dipped his balls in front of the fucking camera.
Did no one proof check these submissions? Like, did no one watch them before they just put them on the air?
I don't know if, live TV, they probably only got sent them in the previous, 2 to 3 minutes, which does imply, and I think you are right, one person said, this is grand. And yeah. I don't know which one, but in my head, it's somebody who was, looking through, 70 videos at once and was just, really quickly skipping through them and then got to that one and just in a row must have just been like, yeah, that looks fine. First yeah. 2 seconds look grand. And then
it looks like all the other eclipse
one.
Footage I've seen.
Yeah, and then they just move on to the next one. Throw them all in, it's fine. But the idea that after it happens, it's somebody's fault. There's somebody at the station that said, yes, click that button, play that clip.
Yeah. Also, this clip is remarkably hard to find. I'm trying desperately to see these man's balls.
I'm determined to see this man's balls.
If it's the last thing I do on this green earth.
I will die on this earth, and then I will see that man's balls. I promise. Why do you want to is the question.
I don't know. I just want to see if he's okay, you know?
I want them to cough while the clip is on.
There it is. Yeah.
Oh,
they censored
it.
No, they censored it.
Ah, they're blurry. It's blurry.
I'll do it myself later. It'll be fine.
Send it to me. Let me know.
I will, yeah.
a lovely total eclipse video that Sean sent me.
What?
I've been done. I've been done again.
I've been had.
I've been hoodwinked. Sean, what do you think about this? How do you recover as an anchor, first of all? And secondly, how do you recover as the person who gave it the go-ahead?
Oh, gave it the go-ahead, I think you're fired.
You're done.
You put balls on the air. You can't do that.
That's rule one.
As the anchor, you just need to keep a straight face and apologise. Once the camera says cut, then you start laughing, because it is hilarious, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, you get to end up in one of those very famous clips that will always be played on any of those news bloopers things that always around.
That's your legacy right there. Yeah. And the dude who performed the act.
Performed?
You're eating out on that every Christmas.
My balls were on TV.
Yeah. No, I'll show you. and then show on the video if you can fucking find it.
That's the peak of male existence. It's like, everyone, you can be grabbed, but has your balls been on
the most seen pair of balls in the world at this point? In the last week, certainly.
No, in the last week, yes, but there's got to be like, I don't know, like one of those sex tapes from the celebrities that got like,
maybe. Like,
back in the 90s you had Tommy, what's his name, and Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
Like, those ones are like the Kim Kardashian ones. Some of the sex tapes probably have been seen a lot more times as Mexican TV at the end of the day.
Oh, but this has been doing the rounds, man.
This has been doing the rounds. You couldn't find it, though.
I couldn't find it, that's true.
The algorithm's making it hard to find.
It's true. God, this is what Elon wants for the internet. Give me balls or give me death.
Give me balls. Sean, I think that's it for this week's weird news.
What a week. Do you want me to take us out, Connor?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Heroes for Hire podcast. We will be back on Friday with an episode of Hero or Zero, and then next Monday with another episode of the Heroes for Hire podcast. Big thank you to everyone over on Patreon, patreon.com/Heroes for Hire podcast. If you want to support us over there, you help us to keep the show going. We really genuinely couldn't do it without everyone, and you also get a shout out for doing so. So thank you to Roisin and Baby Ben Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Komatsu Dozer Enthusiast Evanson, Waffles Loves You and Hopes You Have a Good Day, David Clark, Sean Chuckle in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jamieson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever, and congrats Roisin on your baby, Helm Roos, Danny McLaughlin, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Frost Overwhelmed by Uni and Other Bad Choices, Ed Ball, Connor and Lorraine are certain you could kill someone with a compass, just aim for the carotid artery. Russ is still working out the weird news, love, love, hate, weird story intro, parfait. That's from a couple of weeks ago. I've been lax about updating the names. Luke the Gamer One. Jackson Bruheim has released a new episode of Can Columbo Crack the Case. Liz had a few too many on St. Paddy's Day and tipsly subscribed to the Patreon. Kira Lawler, Judge Lahey, The Amazing World of Keza, Mikey the Leinster Ledgebag, Chair's number one fan, Kyle Borowski, Rory, Sean subbed to the Patreon after 10 creamy pints, Pete can't wait to hear his name read out on the podcast, so definitely won't make it too long, and Jack Markham. Thank you all for your continued support. We really appreciate it. If you want to support the show, head on over there. There is also a merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter's at heroesforhirepod, the 4 is a number 4. Facebook is Detective Diplomat's Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Lee.
I shall see you all next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.